Good morning. Good morning. I've asked if I can just have a minute to talk to you. It's about the intimation in today's order of service about the new group, the pastoral care group that has just been formed. And I wanted to just underline it a wee bit to you all. We're a small group that's 5 members: Diane Miller, Neil Merrilies, Moira Cuthbertson, Kay Husband, and myself. And in the intimation, I realised I only gave my own phone number, but all of us are approachable. The groups come together because we're aware that we have members who have been regular and involved members of the church family, but usually through a combination of ill health or age, they can't get to us anymore. I think the famous Newport Bray has a lot to answer for. We feel that perhaps if we can do regular, friendly visits, just as a link, so that we're letting a distant member of the church family know that we're a member too and they're not forgotten, that this would be useful. We're also aware that sometimes folk go through periods of distress or worry, and that sometimes having an outsider who will listen and be supportive and just let you talk things out in a very confidential manner, want to underline, that can be helpful as well. So that's the two kind of general, rather hazy bits that we intend to do. If any of you know of people that you think might like to have a contact, then it would be good if you could maybe ask them, tell them about the group, and ask them if they would like their name passed along. However, I realise that sometimes folk think, oh, we don't want to do that, but I think that would be useful for them. So if you don't want to do that, then just speak to one of the group that I've named, and we'll do the kind of inquiring and finding out if they would like a visit. Thank you very much.
The Lord is good. The Lord is good. And all the time. On behalf of our church family here in Newport-on-Tay, I would like to welcome all those who are worshiping with us this morning for the first time or doing so after a long while. Welcome also to our brothers and sisters who are following this service or worshiping with us via Zoom, and those who will be doing so listening to the service afterwards on our church's website. I'm sure, and I've been told last week, the death of William Berry was announced in the church and a minute silence observed in his honor. Tomorrow, there will be a Thanksgiving service here in the church at 2:30 p.m., and all of us are welcome to that service that will follow the burial that will take place tomorrow morning. Let us take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. Let us worship God. Our first hymn is number 63, All People That on Earth Do Dwell.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, as we gather on this first Sunday in the month of July, we come with open hearts to worship you. You are the God of new beginnings, the one who leads us forward not by what we have earned, but by your mercy and grace alone. We thank you for the example of Abraham, who was not counted righteous by his works, but by faith, simple, trusting, and believing faith. And we rejoice in the promise you gave through Paul's words, "Blessed are those whose sins are forgiven, whose transgressions are covered." We come today, Lord, not boasting of what we have done, but trusting in what Christ has done for us. So now, with honesty and humility, we confess our sins before you. Forgive us for the ways we have tried to earn your love, when all you ask is that we receive it. Forgive us for moments when pride closed our ears, when selfishness guided our hands, when worry ruled our hearts. Wash us clean, Lord, not because we deserve it, but because you delight in mercy. As we get into this month of July, help us to position our lives, our thoughts, our actions, our desires in line with your will. Open our eyes to the blessings you have prepared for us this month. Blessings not based on our performance, but flowing freely from your heart of grace. Help us walk not in the strength of our own efforts, but in the freedom of forgiven people like Abraham, counted righteous by faith. We rest in the righteousness of Christ alone, who taught us always to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Our next hymn, 467, "All My Days I Will Sing This Song of Gladness." Good morning, children. Good morning. How are you this morning? Are you all good? Today is the first Sunday in the month of July. Are you off school now? You're on holidays. Any big plans? Yes? You are going to England? Wow. I think they have a better weather than Scotland in England. It's warmer and brighter, it seems. It's very hot down there. So you don't like it there? You do. That's good. Sometimes it's good to be in very warm weather. We are used to that back in Africa. So this morning we begin our children's address with a few questions. So let me ask you, have you ever felt small or left out in something that you really wanted to be involved with or in? Can you remember, Jacob? No? No. So you have always been involved. Okay, have you ever felt guilty because you did something and you were wondering what maybe dad or mom or your siblings were thinking? Have you ever felt that sense of guilt? What people will be thinking? Yes, you have. Do you want to share? Do you remember? No, you don't remember. Yes. You tried making slime with a kitchen soap. And what happened? You were afraid that mom and myself were going to say that you were wasting the soap. Okay, that sounds a good one. Okay, another question. If you heard that Jesus Christ was coming to Newport today, what will you do? We've been talking about Jesus every Sunday. So if you heard that he was coming to Newport, what will you do? You don't know? So many answers, easy answers. What will you do? Would you like to see him? Would you like to see Jesus? So what will you do to see him? Go outside. But there will surely be so many people wanting to see him too. So how will you manage? And if these were all taller people like myself, how would you see him? Will you jump? Yeah. Someone to pick you up, carry you. Okay. Yes, you probably ask someone to carry you up. Is there another method you would use to see him? You will? You ask to go in front. Good answers. Yes? Would you try to climb a tree because that would add your height? Would you? Yeah, you're all nodding your heads. That would be the most, you know, interesting thing to do. Just climb one of the tall trees and you will outsmart every other person. So there is a story of somebody in the Bible, a man who was called Zacchaeus. Do you know about that story? What do you know about Zacchaeus? He was tiny in stature, very small, and he was short. Do you know the job he was doing? He was a tax collector. Can we clap for Jacob, please? Tax collector. He was a tax collector, and people did not really like him. You know why? Because he did not just take the money for tax. He added something on top. So he took more than he should have taken. So he was a very rich man. And he was in a town called Jericho. So Jesus was going to visit that town. And everybody was trying to see him. So, but as we said, Zacchaeus was tiny, he was short, he was small in stature. He climbed a tree. And what would a tree do? It will add his height. So he climbed a tree, and when Jesus arrived where he was, Jesus saw him and he said, well, I saw you, so come down. I'll come to your house. People were not happy because they thought, why would Jesus go to a man's house who was not a good man? But Jesus said he did not come for those who are well, but for those who are sick, meaning that people who have need for him, he came for them. And we have need for Christ. That is why we come to church, because we need him in our lives. Now, the effort that Zacchaeus did says a lot about the efforts we make to come to Christ. We come to church every Sunday. Why? Because we want to hear about Jesus. We want to see Jesus, not physically, but spiritually. We want to talk to him. But even before we try to see Jesus, we learn from this story that he sees us. Just like he saw Zacchaeus. He sees us. He does not only see us, he loves us. And he invites himself into our hearts or into our homes. That is what he does. So what we have to do is to have open hearts that Jesus Christ may come in and dwell in our hearts and dwell in our lives. Let us pray. Dear God and Father, we give you thanks for our lives. We thank you for our children. And we thank you because you long to visit and to be with us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the lesson of Zacchaeus. We pray, O God, that we not just be made aware of the fact that you love us and wants to be with us, but that we be open for you to come in and to dwell with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Our next hymn, Hallelujah, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, reading verses 22 to 28, and can be found on page 729 of the Pew Bible or followed on the overhead. Isaiah chapter 43 at verse 22. Yet you have not called upon me, O Jacob. You have not wearied yourselves for me, O Israel. You have not brought me sheep for burnt offerings, nor honored me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with grain offerings, nor wearied you with demands for incense. You have not bought any fragrant calamus for me, or lavished on me the fat of your sacrifices. But you have burdened me with your sins and wearied me with your offenses. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Review the past for me. Let us argue the matter together. State the case for your innocence. Your first father sinned. Your spokesman rebelled against me. So I will disgrace the dignitaries of your temple, and I will consign Jacob to destruction and Israel to scorn. And we turn to the New Testament lesson in the book of Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. And this is the story that Amos was illustrating to the children earlier on. Luke chapter 19 at verse 1. Zacchaeus the tax collector. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Amen, and may God add his blessings to these readings from his holy word. And we now continue with our worship by singing hymn 458, "At the Name of Jesus, Every Knee Shall Bow."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, shine your light upon the pages of Scripture so that what we reflect is not merely an ancient story, but the living truth that speaks to our lives today. May the words of Scripture become bread for the journey, water for the weary, and light for our path. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if you are looking for a Sunday morning chuckle, here it is. A grown man, rich beyond measure, wriggles up a sycamore tree like a wee boy at a summer camp. Not because he dropped his wallet, but because he's desperate to see Jesus. Now, that is not something you see every day, not in the first century, and certainly not on Princes Street in Edinburgh. But this is exactly what Luke 19 presents to us, the story of Zacchaeus, a man of considerable wealth, public infamy, and surprisingly, a yearning heart. And that last part is where we begin, because despite what he had, something was missing. Zacchaeus is not just rich, he is the chief tax collector in Jericho. The kind of man you might cross the street to avoid. In modern terms, he is part financier, part public villain, and wholly despised. And yet, when he hears Jesus is passing through, he climbs a tree. Why? Because, like many in our world today, even in secular post-Christian Scotland, his pockets are full, but his heart is empty. Luke's gospel is often called the gospel of the marginalized. Women, lepers, tax collectors, and Gentiles all find place in Jesus' story. Luke is telling us over and over again, the kingdom of God is for those who recognize their need for it. Zacchaeus may have been wealthy, but he was short, not only in height or stature, but also in status. And that offers us a hint. We live in a society where wealth, success, and independence are often viewed as the greatest virtues. Yet, deep down, many are metaphorically climbing trees because they still feel unfulfilled. And it raises a haunting question in our postmodern West. Is it possible to be rich and still restless? To that, Scottish philosopher John McMurray once wrote, and I quote, "The deepest need of the human soul is not for possession, but for connection." Look around modern Britain and you would find Zacchaeus in many forms. He is the executive in Glasgow who owns 3 holiday homes but has not slept well in a decade. She is the academic at St. Andrews University who has written volumes on philosophy but still cannot shake the question, does any of this matter? He's the entrepreneur in Dundee who made it all, lost it all, made it back, and now quietly wonders what he's searching for. Friend, wealth is not evil, but it is never enough. And too often, cleverness can turn to cynicism. Many of the so-called enlightened no longer climb trees to find Christ. They sit back with arms folded, asking for rational proofs of a mystery that has already proven itself in love. C.S. Lewis put it this way: we are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and ambition when infinite joy is offered us like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by a holiday at the sea. Wonderful ideas. Zacchaeus had the gold, but he wanted the joy. I am sure some of you have read the story of Leo Tolstoy, the restless genius who had everything but peace. At the height of his success, Tolstoy was a literary giant. After publishing War and Peace in 1869 and Anna Karenina in 1877, he was hailed not just in Russia but across Europe as one of the greatest novelists who ever lived. He was wealthy. He lived on a vast estate. He was famous. People quoted him in saloons and studied his work in universities. He had a large family, loyal readers, and the kind of cultural influence most writers only dream of. And yet, he was utterly restless. In his late 40s, Tolstoy entered a profound spiritual crisis, and this is what he wrote. I felt that what I had been standing on had collapsed, and that I had nothing left under my feet. I could give no rational meaning to any actions or to my whole life. End of quote. He was a man who had everything and yet contemplated suicide because he could not find purpose in any of it. He had written masterpieces, acquired wealth, and won the world's respect, but still asked why. Tolstoy tried philosophy. He read Schopenhauer, Kant, and Pascal, but their ideas, though intellectually rich, could not give him peace. What finally began to restore him was a simple shift, watching the faith of the common people, peasants, farmers, and workers. He saw how they prayed, how they lived, how they forgave. He observed something in them that no book could explain, a deep joy rooted not in success, but in humble trust in God, and it humbled him. He turned back to the Gospels, especially the teachings of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. His faith became radical. It was not perfect, and many disagreed with the direction of his theology, but his heart was searching, much like Zacchaeus's. He said this near the end of his life, and I quote again, "The meaning of life is to serve the force that sent you into the world, and that force is love." Like Zacchaeus, Tolstoy had everything, status, intellect, and wealth, but he also had the courage to climb a tree, metaphorically speaking, to seek something higher, something truer than what society defined as success. He saw through the emptiness of riches and cleverness when not rooted in deeper meaning. And friend, that is the beauty of our story. Zacchaeus' effort, his humiliation before his exaltation. Because the beauty of this story is that Zacchaeus makes an effort. He climbs a tree. And that is no small act of humility for a man of his status. In his context, it would have been ridiculous, laughable, and even shameful. But friends, that is the kind of effort that true hunger produces. It may be inconvenient, even embarrassing, but it reveals a heart that says, I must see Jesus. Contrast that with many today, especially in the educated West, who prefer to question God rather than seek him. And yet Scripture promises, seek and you will find. Jesus does something radical. He looks up, calls Zacchaeus by name and says, I must stay at your house today. Imagine the town's reaction. Jesus is going to his house? Has he lost his moral compass? But that is grace for you. It goes where it is least expected and most needed. And Zacchaeus, whether defending his past or promising a better future, is seen. He is called. He is welcomed. And he receives it with joy. Isaiah 43 reminds us of this divine pattern. Quote, "You have not called upon me, you have not honored me with your sacrifices, but I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake." In other words, God's grace is not earned, it is given. What does the story of Zacchaeus say to us here in Newport on Tay, in this quiet corner of 21st century Scotland? It tells us something hopeful. The gospel is not just for the broken, it is also for the quietly restless. It is for those who, like Zacchaeus, seem to have it all together, comfortable homes, decent pensions, filled calendars, but who deep down are still climbing trees, still searching for meaning, still yearning for a glimpse of Jesus. Because here is the truth. You can be rich and still feel empty. You can be surrounded by people and still feel unseen. And you can sit in church week after week and still wonder if grace could reach your house. But the gospel comes to people like that. It came to Zacchaeus, and it comes to you. Jesus Christ sees your longing. Even the one you have hidden behind your career, your cleverness, or your busyness. And just like he called Zacchaeus by name, he calls you personally, lovingly, without shame. But the story does not stop there. Last week, I visited one of our elderly church members who has not been to our morning services for some time. She's someone I check in on often. She told me, "Amos, I get the church journal. Thank you. But what I need is someone to ask how I am doing." She was not angry, just honest. And then she added something I won't forget. "We have made Christianity a mentality, but sometimes it doesn't feel like a community." That made me pause and pray. Because it is not just Zacchaeus who needs a tree to climb. Today, some people are too weary to climb at all, too lonely, too overwhelmed, and too forgotten. So I ask you, dear friends, what kind of church are we becoming? Are we a crowd that blocks the view, or are we building trees for others to climb? Can we offer a phone call, a cup of tea? We do so every Sunday after church. A lift to church, a moment of genuine listening. Sometimes the most Christ-like thing you can do is ask someone how they are doing and wait long enough to hear the answer. Discipleship is not just about following Jesus for ourselves. It is about making space for others to see him too. As author and pastor Tim Keller once wrote, the church is not a museum for saints, but a hospital for sinners. So let us be the church that exists for others, not just a place that talks about grace, but the people who live it, not just disciples of theology, but disciples of love. And in a time when so many are climbing trees alone, let it be said of Newport on Tay, here, no one climbs alone. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that is sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you for speaking to us this morning and for reminding us, O Father, to be trees on which others can climb to see you. Bless your word and bless our hearts. Amen. Our next hymn is 555, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Please be seated. Let us pray. Let us dedicate the offering. Generous and gracious God, everything we have is a gift from you. Even as you called Zacchaeus to open his home and his heart, so now we offer these gifts in faith and gratitude. Take what we bring, our money, our time, our hearts, and use it to build not just a building, but a community where all are seen, all are welcomed, and none climb alone. Bless this offering that it may reach the weary, restore the broken, and reflect the grace we have freely received through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue in prayers as we intercede, and there is a response. Lord, in your mercy, congregation will respond. Hear our prayer. Gracious and ever-seeking God, you are the one who calls us by name, who sees us not just for who we are, but for who we can become in your love. We pray for those like Zacchaeus who are searching, those who seem to have it all and yet feel empty inside, for those in our community and across our country who are restless, lonely, or quietly wondering what life is all about. Lord, let them hear you call their name. Let them know that grace can reach even their house. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those who feel unseen in our own congregation and parish. The elderly who no longer make it to church, the quiet ones who sleep in and out without a word, those who long not just for a sermon, but for a conversation. Make us a people who notice, who stop, who call, who care. Help us build trees, not walls, places of welcome, not exclusion. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the church, not just this church, but your whole church, that we would not become a museum of sins, but a hospital for sinners, a home for wanderers, and a lighthouse for those lost at sea. Protect us from becoming clever but cold, correct but distanced. Give us hearts that burn with compassion and hands ready to serve. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those in need, for the poor, the sick, the anxious, the grieving, and for those carrying burdens no one else can see. In a world where many are too tired to climb, make us the ones who kneel beside them. Let our presence be the grace they need. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we pray for other world's events, and we think of the flooding in Texas in the USA, and for young people especially and others caught up in that tragedy. We pray for their families and ask for your quick support and help. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for ourselves that as we get on with this new month of July, we would position our hearts to receive what you have for us. Blot out our sins as you promised in Isaiah, not because we earned it, but because you delight to forgive. Give us the courage to seek you again, to climb whatever tree we must, and to welcome you into every part of our lives. We offer all these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who sees us, knows us, and saves us. Amen. Our final hymn, Thine Be the Glory, Risen Conquering Son, is hymn 419.
Thank you.
peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.